Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, Jesse Walsh. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. And helping me do that this week, comedian, writer, star of hashtag dating no filter, Kara Connors. Kara, welcome. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Adam.
Before we talk about anything movie related, you kind of, in a way, were my old roommate.
I know. It's true.
In a very weird 6 degrees of separation kind of way. Not even really, because we've been together for a little while.
Yeah. No, we definitely were. I mean, I miss living with you and Allie. We had a good little spot. Our first year in LA together.
And we did it together. It was so nice.
We did. And we were a family.
We were a little family. Well, let's talk about the movie that you've picked. We're talking about, I mean, it's a classic. Don't even need an introduction. Ghostbusters. Why Ghostbusters, Kara?
Okay. I mean, Ghostbusters is a classic. I love New York. I wanted to talk. I don't even know if it would be categorized, I guess, as a horror film, but I think I'm such a baby. I didn't have that many other horror films.
It's great. It's perfect. Seen.
And I think that has a lot of like nostalgic value for me. So that's why I picked it.
When I was a kid, my grandparents would, if I was staying with them, they would let me rent a movie and I would always rent Ghostbusters. And I'm not kidding you, buddy. I would watch it on VHS. I would rewind it and literally watch it again straight away. Do you remember the first time you saw it? And did you have any kind of obsession with it like I did?
It was not an obsession. And I don't remember the first time I saw it. It must have been my brothers probably watching it, because I have three older brothers. And so I know it must have come by way of that. Like, I didn't have a lot of control over the TV. Like, it was really like my, you know, I think like we were like really watching some, like my dad ran the TV and he liked to watch like Oz and The Sopranos. So like Ghostbusters was very kid friendly for my family.
Yeah. Your dad was watching dad stuff.
Yeah, like really dark, like mafia cop, anything with that was what he wanted to watch.
I remember one time I was home from school. My dad would always watch the news, like the 5 o'clock news. And I tried to get excited to watch the news with him. And he called me out instantly. I was like, wow, the news. And he's like, you're not excited about the news. He was right. Yeah. I wasn't. I didn't care about the news.
No, not at all.
So your brothers introduced you to Ghostbusters. Do you relate to one of the four Ghostbusters? Is there one that really, that you identify with, whether as a kid or now as an adult?
Will your listeners hate me if I say Kate McKinnon in the reboot version?
Not at all. No, not at all.
Okay. I think that would be the closest, you know, just like, I think that kind of, a little bit of like an error of like, you know, friendly and part of the group, but a little bit weird and on the edges.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I think that's what resonates the most.
Did it? Because when I was with the original, I there was a Ghostbuster I always wanted to be, which was Peter Venkman. I think all my little pals wanted to be Venkman. But as I got older, I realized I was Winston. That was the Ghostbuster that I was, because Winston is probably the most real of all the Ghostbusters. Blue collar, just he's an everyman. I love that he says, for $11.5 a year, I'll believe whatever you say. Which, by the way, $11.5 a year, that's not really a lot of money, even back then for New York Times.
No, I mean, that's not a lot of money, like in general. But there's like always the idea of like which one you think you are and which one you want to be are different. Like with the Spice Girls, right? Like I might want to be cool, like scary Spice, but I'm not, I'm obviously Sporty Spice, right? Like, so you have to reconcile those two pieces.
What Spice Girls do I want to be and which Spice Girl do I think I am? I think you're right. I think I want to be Scary Spice.
Right.
But I'm probably Baby Spice.
Yeah. It's just like a self-awareness thing, right? Like,
totally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I want to be Scary Spice, but I'm Baby Spice.
Right. And that's okay. We love
No, Baby it's Spice. Fine. It's the same thing with Ghostbusters. Like, I want to be Venkman, but there's nothing wrong with Winston. They're all great.
Yeah, there's room for everybody.
Yeah, they just have different qualities. I don't know. That's a really good. Now I'm going to do that with a bunch of other things. What other members of pop groups do I think that I am?
Yeah, but just be careful asking people, like, which people you ask to do it to you. Like, which one am I? Because people get honest. No. They get really honest. And it's not always what you want.
I was just telling a buddy that I was on a flight, and the stewardess kept coming up to me and saying, like, oh, my God, you remind me of my buddy Greg, or I forget his name. Uh-huh. And she was super at, like, very much coming up to me, going out of her way to say it. And then she showed me a picture of this guy afterwards. And Kara, it was this slovenly guy,
yeah,
like
true.
Standing out by an airport. I was like, that's what you think I am? That's who I remind you of?
Anytime somebody says that, I never want to hear what
it's always going to be bad.
It's always like, yeah, anybody that they think, a celebrity they think you look like, and then they show you a picture, and it's like, it's brutal. It's like, they have a full unibrow.
Yeah. Or they're just getting out of county jail.
Right. The only time somebody's ever done something, like said something like that to me where it actually felt good, was I was on a plane once, and this woman said I looked like just like her grandson. And I did. I truly did. And he was a handsome boy.
See, that's great, because nothing can compare with a grandmother's love for her grandchildren.
Right. I was like, I might be adopted today. This is good. This is really good.
You should have played it off like that. Like, yeah, should have just assumed this kid's identity.
Right.
You don't like horror. This was probably the least scary thing you could have picked, right?
Yeah.
You know when that happened for you? When did you decide I wasn't into this, or did something happen? Did you see something that instilled that in you?
I think, okay, so I definitely am. I'm scared enough in general. And so I get the psychological, like wanting to be scared or like want, that is like, I don't know, too much for me. I think it started again with my dad watching, like he's super into horror, like always was playing like original werewolf, like Frankenstein, mm-hmm. Dracula, like those really, like, I don't even know. There were other ones. There was one in Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think those movies like always creeped me out, but I did find them at least like a little bit corny in some ways. Like you knew it wasn't real, but I really think Silence of the Lambs is what fucked me up.
That's the one that got you. Huh?
I saw it too young. Yeah. And I didn't. And then like, I was trying to think of other movies. I was like, Are You Afraid of the Dark on Nickelodeon? Like that was scared for me. Goosebumps was too scared for me. I think I'm just a pussy. Like it's not like, it's not.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's not, don't do that to yourself, because that's not fair. If you're going to start with Silence of the Lambs and then go to Goosebumps, you're fucked. You're not going to recover from that.
It's too much. Like I just never could handle it. And then I want to like it because I want to like understand references, but I can barely even like listen to descriptions of things. Like I know Hereditary is supposed to be really good. I know the thing that happened. I'm like, I can't watch that. What do you want from me? You nuts? I'm scared of Beauty and the Beast. The opening scene of Beauty and the Beast scares me as an adult still.
There's a lot scary about that. He's holding that poor woman hostage.
Right. But like the old lady, when she comes and like curses him, even the music today, that's not mm-hmm. normal. So that's why like Ghostbuster, it's friendly, it's light. Okay. Thank you for allowing that to be categorized as a horror film for me.
Sure. Of course. It's got ghost in the title. I think you're okay.
Right. Right.
Silence of the Lambs. I love it. That's such a good one. That one still, I mean, when he sits up with the guy's face on him, I don't know if you remember that part, but when he's escaping from the prison, it's very spooky.
Yes.
So, and he's a great character. Do you know how that, I read Red Dragon. Were you and I talking about this? Do you know how how Thomas Harris ended it? He got Starling and Hannibal Lecter. They ended up together.
Oh,
like they ended up as a couple in the book, in like this, in the sequel to Silence of the Lambs, which I think is such bullshit. I think it sells out Clarice Starling so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That's actually how it ends in the sequel.
In the series, they end up together. Okay.
Damn.
Or at least they're sucking face, which I think is, I think it just betrays everything about the two of them together.
Right. Yeah. That's, That's a yikes.
I don't know what the real answer is for how did this whole thing end.
Yeah, I don't think there is a good ending because it's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, the ending that they have now is he's just out and who knows where he's going to end up.
Which is scary.
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying because that shit happens every day in real life.
What? That people just go, like, bad guys just disappear and we don't know where they are?
It's gotta. We're watching Homeland right now and there's just so many people out there that are just, like, monsters and they're just out.
Yeah.
And they're coming to get us. What did you think of Ghostbusters?
Is this supposed to make me feel better?
You're no, like, it's not.
If you think about it, in real life, it's much worse.
I'm doing it. See, well, yeah. I mean, in real life, it is much worse. So if you watch the movie, it's not so bad.
Oh, my God. I can't.
What did you think of Ghostbusters 2? Did you like Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously went to just see the cast. Like, I think that was the main thing. I was very excited about it. Mm-hmm. I love a female reboot. I love all the comedians that were in it. So I definitely enjoyed that.
Are you excited for the third one coming out with the Venkman cast? And do you want to see a sequel to the Kate McKinnon world?
There's a third one coming out?
Yeah, there's a new one coming out. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal. Like, it's Ivan Reitman's son is making it. Jason Reitman is making it.
Oh, okay.
So this is like a proper sequel to Ghostbusters 2, but there hasn't been like a proper sequel to the reboot Kate McKinnon.
Whoa. I mean, well, I guess I would love to see it. I guess I don't know if they would do it. I mean, why are they choosing to do a sequel of the old one instead of this? Did the reboot not do well enough, or how did they decide that?
I don't know. That is a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Now I want to look that up. I don't know how well the reboot did. I thought it did pretty well.
I thought it did pretty well too, but I mean, I have no sense of, you know, these things in general, but certainly not now. Cause if they're going to release it and then it's like released on a streaming device, do I want to pay $20 for it? I don't know.
We have a lot of, obstacles in our way in terms of how we're going to consume media, because if something's released on a streaming thing, I don't want to have to pay $20 to watch it beforehand. No.
Cause then like a month later it's free, you know, or a couple months later.
Absolutely. All right. So the 2016 Paul Feig, $144 million it took to make, and it made $229.1 million. So that's a success.
That's a profit to me.
That's a big profit. That's almost twice what they made it for. So I don't know why you wouldn't make another one.
Right. If that's like the only reason that they're making it to begin with, just to make
it really. Like, I mean, isn't that what Hollywood is all about? That's Hollywood, baby.
Just I mean, that's money. Pretty Hollywood, baby. I was going to say. I can't believe it took us that long to say that.
It took us a minute. If I'm being honest, I legitimately forgot about it till just right now.
Oh, no way, man.
Sarah and I both trying to make it here in the mean streets of Hollywood. That's Hollywood, baby.
That's Hollywood, baby. What do you want from us? Here we are. You know, a year into the global pandemic, we live 5 minutes apart and we're talking on Zoom. Yeah,
we're in the same neighborhood. We're three blocks away from me.
We live on the same street, off the same street. Yeah. I mean, but that's Hollywood, baby. You know, get 10 COVID tests to go shoot a non-union commercial, clear $400. What do you want, baby? That's what we're doing.
Them's the breaks, because we're hustling every day.
That's right, baby.
Do you think we were talking about the town in Boston and how the traffic would impede that awesome bank heist chase? Do you think living in New York, what is the Ghostbusters response time to anything? Do you think they have a good response time, or is their response time terrible?
No. I went to college in New York and I lived there a few years after. And there were a couple of times where I was on the subway and someone had, you know, some kind of medical event, like in front, like on the same car as me or in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I always, the amount of time it took for them to shut the subway down, get everyone out of the way, call the ambulance, I always thought to myself, you're dead, then you die. So hopefully nothing happens to New York because you will die. Because no, people were mad that they were people on the car saw a guy faint in front of them. Mm-hmm. And then the cars open, we had to clear off, and they're like, oh, fucking, but, you know, these are the people that saw the guy faint and he still passed out on the ground. no one's doing anything. They're just annoyed. They step over him. I can't even imagine. And then the traffic, it's a nightmare. Don't get sick in New York.
So New York is the greatest city in the world then.
That's right. A Ghostbuster emergency. I don't know how they're zipping through traffic. Maybe now, but not during normal times.
Yeah, I mean, Ecto-1's great, but I don't think people are getting out of the way for that car.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, they're absolutely not. They're banging on the front of the hood.
Oh, yeah. And like somebody's jumping out in front of them, like, you hit me, even though they didn't. Right. Like, give me $200 and I'll go away.
Yeah, that's what people do. I mean, it's very brave of them to have chosen New York, but that's not the city where I would set up shop.
What is the most practical city in your mind in the States to set up a Ghostbusters business? Because it's not New York, and it's sure shit in LA. Where is it?
I'm going to Florida. Here's why.
You going to Florida?
It's warm. A lot of creepy shit is happening constantly. Yep. Okay. Nobody knows how to drive. They drive slow. They're old as hell, but you can zip around them. People are dying all the time. At least it's warm out. I don't have to worry about wearing a jacket in the snow. And that, I mean, I'm going there. I'm not going to.
Florida has not given us a lot of great things to celebrate, but I think idea of putting a Ghostbusters business in Florida makes the most goddamn sense out of anything I've ever heard.
I want to open the first Ghostbusters franchise.
Yeah.
In Tallahassee, Florida. Let's bring some pride back to that state.
Love it. Tallahassee's been struggled long enough. We got to get them back on the map. We're going to do it. If you're listening in Tallahassee, petition your local state government to open a Ghostbusters franchise in your town.
What else are they doing?
Nothing. They're not doing anything. They're just fucking sitting there.
Where would you go?
I mean, that's a good question. I didn't even think about the weather thing. So I think Florida's the right one, but I would do it somewhere in, I think, like Naples, Florida. I have friends who live in Naples. So I think there would be good. Same thing. A lot of old people. So, you know, they're going to die.
Right.
Weather's good. Not a lot of traffic. I think Florida's the right call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we fixed it.
I was going to say Montana because I love mountains, but it can get too goddamn cold. So.
Right. And there's only like 8 people who live there. So there's not going to be, you know, you want the action. You don't go into the ghost busting business because you want to sit around. You want the phone to be ringing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they do not pay taxes in Florida. That's correct, right?
That sounds correct to me, but you absolutely should not do any fact checking with me.
I'm not going to fact check it at all and just assume that they don't pay taxes in Florida. That's why everybody wants to fucking live there.
Right. Because I was going to say Montana has 8 people and they have what, 38 electoral votes? What's the, don't fact check me either with that. But that's my understanding and I don't want to know the answer.
I know it's 38, but I think it's the Dakotas that have 38 electoral votes.
Okay.
Florida only has about 6.5.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
All of this, I believe, is 1,000% factually accurate.
Yes, agreed.
Well, Kara, I would love to continue to move from horror movies and just dole out facts about the Electoral College and how elections work in this country. But unfortunately, we can't. We have to take a break and talk to a New York resident who might be able to give us a little insight on Ghostbuster business and how it affects the neighborhood with famed New York photographer Jan Glebowitz is going to be joining us soon. But Kara, thank you so much for coming by.
Hey neighbors, Adam here. Have you been enjoying My Neighbors Are Dead? Well, there are 2 quick and easy ways you can show your support that only take a second. First, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. That can be anything from talking about a recent episode to suggesting a film for a future guest. And 2, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss future episodes. It helps you, it helps us, and it helps new folks find the podcast. Thanks, and now back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. I'm joined this week. I am so excited to talk to you. Famed New York photographer, Jan Glebowitz. Jan, how are you?
Okay, Adam, I'm fine. All right, I'm doing fine.
Good. I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to come by and just to chat with me a little bit about what New York life is like and the world of a photographer in that city. So I can't wait to hear all about it.
I mean, what else am I doing right now? Okay, New York is dead. Okay, people used to come to New York. They don't come anymore. All right, New York is dead as we know it. So that's the thing.
So I've been to New York a couple of times and I love it. Before the city died, for, you know, lack of a better term, what was your favorite parts about New York? What did you love most about living in New York? And what was it like to be a photographer in that city?
All right, Adam, let me tell you a story. Okay, let me tell you something about New York that a lot of people don't understand. New York is a horrible city to live. Okay, nobody wants to live in New York, but nobody can live. Okay, everybody comes to New York, they think they want to live in New York, but nobody can. Okay, what's my favorite thing about New York? Nothing's my favorite thing about New York. I like to be in New York. I like to do my own thing. I wish nobody else lived there, but I need people to live there so it's New York. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. Yeah. It absolutely makes sense. So is this kind of a welcome rest for you from the city? Like, it's kind of quiet, things are slowing down. Does that make it better for you or worse?
I mean, okay, here's the thing. Here's my life, okay? I don't have a car. I don't have a TV. I don't have a computer, okay? I'm in my apartment, everybody. For me, my life is the same. For everybody else, it's different. I like taking a breath. There's not 10 million tourists in the city anymore. So that makes my life a little bit easier because nobody knows how to walk through this goddamn city except for me.
Well, I think you're in rarefied air that this really hasn't impacted you all that much. So it kind of, you're one of the lucky few where your life has just kind of been as it normally has been.
Okay, let me tell you something. My life has been horrible, okay? It's been terrible. My life is not, but I get through it the best way that I can, okay? And I do that by photographing. That's the only thing that actually brings me joy, okay?
Well, Jan, there's so many unique and important landmarks in New York, so many great places to visit, you know, Radio City Music Hall, Strawberry Fields. You live across the street from an iconic New York institution. You live across the street from the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You were telling me a little bit about that. What is that like? Tell our audience what living across the street from the Ghostbusters is like.
Okay. Living across the street from the Ghostbusters is fine. Here's the issue that I have. They're going around busting ghosts. That's fine. That's what they need to do. We live in New York City. There's ghosts there. Okay. I don't know why people are surprised about this. A million people die every single day in New York City and there's ghosts and there's problems. My issue is everybody crowding around the office because they're trying to take a picture. You want to look at a picture? Why don't you look at my picture? I'm a professional photographer. I don't need these stars to come out with their selfie stick taking a picture of the firehouse. Okay. Why don't you go home and let me take a picture because I'm the actual photographer. That's what I think about it.
So your biggest beef with the Ghostbusters is not so much how they conduct business or what it means to the neighborhood, but it's people taking photographs outside of the firehouse where they reside.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a crowd of people stand in front of a building and take pictures all day long and all night long?
I have, yeah. I lived in Chicago for a little while, so we would see that pretty regularly.
Okay. And how do you contain your rage when you see a group of people standing in front of a building blocking traffic so that people in wheelchairs, people in strollers can't go by on the sidewalk? How does that make you feel? Good?
Admittedly, Jan, it's wildly infuriating. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think I'm angry, but I'm not angry. Okay. I'm just pissed off.
Well, this seems to be... You seem to have a little more skin in the game here. This is impacting your business. You know, you're a photographer. That's how you put food on the table. So what has business been like since the Ghostbusters have moved in or since, you know, your time with them? What has that been like for your business? Up, down, any impact at all? What's that like for you?
Okay. Here's what happened. My business was going great. Okay. The Ghostbusters, they come into town. They get popular. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have more things to shoot initially. I tried to go across the street. A lot of people don't know this, but I tried to go across the street and talk to them when they first opened up the shop. Okay. They don't talk about that. They don't say that in the interviews, but that's the truth. I went across the street. I talked to the Ghostbusters. I said, hey, why don't we work something out? Why don't we make this a mutually beneficial situation for both of us? You know what they said to me? Are you a ghost? We're not interested. That's what they said to me. A lot of people don't realize they have that kind of attitude, but they do.
So we're seeing a side of the Ghostbusters that not a lot of people get to see. You have been kind of greeted with some hostility a little bit. It sounds like. I hope that's fair to say.
That's absolutely fair to say. I mean, I don't know what else they want me to do. I live across the building. I've lived there for 80 years. You've been here for 2 years. Who should move? Huh? You're trying to find.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have the right of way. You know, I think you shouldn't have to move at all. So what do? They shut you down. Are you a ghost? We're not interested. Jan Gleibowitz, what do you do after that? How do you more or less take control of the situation for yourself?
I mean, that's a great question. Okay. You know, I didn't appreciate the sarcasm. Okay, I've lived in New York for over 80 years. I understand what sarcasm is. Okay, they think they've invented sarcasm. They think they've invented, you know, renting out an old building and turning it into something else. Okay, they didn't do that. Okay, they're not original. Nobody in New York is original except for me. I've been here for 80 years. I know what to do. I'm not worried. Jan Gleibowitz is not worried about her business. Okay, they can worry about their business. I'll worry about mine. That's what I like about New York. You don't look at me. I don't look at you. Go away.
I like what I like admire most, I think, is just the fact that you're a self-made entrepreneur really kind of shines through, and even how you deal with the Ghostbusters. I don't think a lot of people would have the stones to go up and say, "Hey, let's work something out," you know, because everybody loves them. Like they're all over the all over magazines, newspapers. Everybody loves them.
I'm not fooled by any of this. Okay, let me ask you a question. You ever been on a subway at 3 o'clock in the morning, coming from Greenpoint, going all the way back up to Harlem? You see four kids, come on, start beatboxing, start doing a dance. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's cheering for them. Everybody's throwing them money. You know what I say? I say, turn the music off and go to a different car. I'm trying to read a book. Okay. Why don't you go and read a book and learn something? I'm not scared of these people. You think I'm scared of the Ghostbusters? I don't care. I don't read magazines, so I don't know what they're saying.
Admittedly, I think the strongest part of your argument is it's 3 a.m. That's time for people to be quiet. You know, it's nighttime. People should be sleeping.
Nobody's quiet in New York. Okay. And definitely not the Ghostbusters. Okay. Cause they got to make a big deal. They want attention themselves. If you want to go and hunt ghosts, do that privately. Okay. You don't have to have a siren like you're an ambulance. Okay.
So I think I hope it's fair to say you and the Ghostbusters aren't exactly friends. You're not friendly, at least.
No, I'm not. I think it's fair to say I'm not friendly with anybody at this point.
What's the, what's the ghost situation like in your residence? Are you haunted? Are you experiencing anything? Spooks, inspectors, ghosts and goblins? What do you got?
I mean, absolutely. Like I said, I live in New York. Okay. I live in an 18 floor walk. Okay. There's an elevator, but it's a walk up. So I take the stairs, but there's an elevator for service people. Why do I want to use the stairs instead of the elevator? Because I like to call it a walk up because it makes me feel like I'm more of a New Yorker. Are there ghosts?
Exercise.
Absolutely. Are there ghosts in the service elevator? Of course there are. Have people died in my building? Absolutely. What do you want me to do about it? This is New York. Don't come to New York then.
So do the ghosts bother you? I mean, it seems like, you know, you're pretty content with your 18 floor walk up, but have you ever given any thought to maybe I should send an olive branch, get these guys over here to try to get rid of these ghosts?
Why am I going to get rid of it? Okay. Where are they going to go? It, you know, this idea that we're going to displace people, you know, it's like moving people that are homeless around. We're going to take all their stuff. We're going to move. Where are you going to put them? Okay. The ghosts have to live somewhere. They're not bothering me. I'm not bothering them. Okay. You know what I'll say about the ghosts? They're pretty quiet. You know what? How about the ghosts and the Ghostbusters in the library? They're pretty quiet. Okay. I don't mind as long as they're quiet. I don't need the Ghostbusters coming around, stomping through with their dirty boots in my apartment. So no, I won't be calling.
Jan, you seem to be the most level-headed person I've spoken with in a while. Everything, you're pretty unflappable. So what is your dream scenario in all this? Like business is down. And also before I ask that, what was your main area of expertise in photography? What was your big, what is your signature? I know like Ann Geddes does babies in watering cans and then Ansel Adams. What about you? What's the Jan Gleibowitz model?
Okay. All right. First of all, let me ask you a question. You're going to interview a professional world famous photographer and you're not going to look up what they're most well known for. So I just want to help you out here because here you are. You're a young guy. I don't have a problem with you. Okay. I really don't. I don't have a problem with you. You seem like a nice guy. Next time you're going to interview a world famous photographer, why don't you go ahead, get on your computer and look up what they're famous for? Because when you come to me and you ask me, Jan Gleibowitz, what are you famous for? I take offense to that. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I take offense to that. I think everybody on this podcast knows what I am most famous for. Okay. I think everybody knows I am most famous for being the most famous New York photographer.
Admittedly, you know what, Jan? That is my fault. And I do apologize. I should have done more research on you. And if I had, I've done just a simple look now. And your name, the first thing that comes up is the most famous photographer in New York. So
well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm not one of these people. Everybody, you know, it's 2021. Everybody's got, oh, you got to have a niche. You got to be so specific. No, you don't. Okay. You know, my niche is New York. 8 million people live in New York. Okay. I think that's specific enough. Okay.
I think 8 million people live in New York. That's 8 million stories for you to photograph. So I think if anybody has a grasp on the potential of that city, it sounds like it's you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, if you're trying to suck up to me because you didn't even look up or know who I was, I don't know who arranged this interview for you. I really don't. Okay. I got a letter in the mail 3 weeks ago asking if I want to do a podcast. Okay. I got this letter. I said, what the hell is a podcast? Okay. I called my niece. I said, can you help me set up something so I can do this podcast? She said, all right. I said, but you can't come into my house because of the coronavirus. She said, Jan, how am I going to help you? I said, you figure it out. Hey, you're a young person. So that's what I say to you. You're a young person.
Well, I do. I thank you very much. You are the first and hopefully not the last guest that we have physically handwritten correspondence letters to that we send strictly through the mail. So you're the first one we've tried it with, and it works. I mean, so thank you for helping us, you know, prove that method right.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to have a phone. I'm not going to have the internet. If you want to get in touch with me, you'll figure out a way to get in touch with me. Okay. Did you figure out a way to get in touch with Jan Gleebwitz? You sure as hell
did. I sure did. So what is your ideal situation here? What is a picturesque resolution for this beef between you and the Ghostbusters? Cause you're like the Hatfields and McCoys of New York. So what, in your mind, what's the resolution here? What's the world where both you and the Ghostbusters can exist peacefully?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, you're talking about olive branches. I'm going to leave it to them. If they want to invite me over for a coffee, they want to invite me over. Maybe they could look at some of my old photo albums. You know, maybe take an interest in the world's most famous New York City photographer in the entire world, lives across the street from them. Okay, maybe they could do that. And maybe I'd be open to that. All right, because I am getting older. And I do want myself, when I die, I likely will be a ghost. And I will haunt the building. So they might have to take care of me then. So take care of me now or take care of me then. It's really your choice.
So you've already resolved yourself to the fact that you're going to haunt that building after you're dead.
There's no scenario in which I'm not going to haunt the building after I die. I think that everybody knows that. Okay.
What is something, you know, I dropped the ball here by not looking you up and not doing my research. So when I look you up now, it says the most famous photographer in New York. Jan, what is something about Jan Gleebwitz that isn't on the internet that people just can't look up? What's something that nobody knows? What's a secret thing about Jan Gleebwitz that can be an exclusive here at My Neighbors Are Dead? What's something that really, really gets to you?
So you're asking me, somebody who, this is the first time that you're meeting them. You're asking me to tell you one of my deepest secrets that's not available on the internet, not available anywhere else. You want me to tell you on a I don't even know what a podcast is. Who is even listening to this? You want me to tell you my deep, are you nuts? You want me to tell you my deepest, darkest secret?
I mean, it doesn't have to be your deepest and darkest secret. I mean, admittedly, when I asked, I thought I was looking for something like, oh, I enjoy watching sunsets. But now that you've said deepest, darkest secret, I kind of want to know what that is.
Okay, this is horrible. Don't turn this around on me. I can tell you anything. You know what? The internet is insane. That's why I don't go on it. People can make up. I can tell you my entire body and face is covered in tattoos. You're going to believe me. Nobody, you know, we don't know anything. We're just making things up. So, okay, you want me to tell you this? What would be a good secret for your listeners? I'll say whatever you want. What's something that they would want to hear? What's something that would be unbelievable to them?
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't want to speak for all of our listeners, but I think they like something on the more spooky and macabre side. So is there something maybe a little, I don't know, nefarious or scary about Jan Gleebwitz that the world might not know on the internet?
Okay. Let me tell you the story about something spooky that happened. Okay. This is what happened. Year is 1951. Okay. I'm at an underground club. Somebody comes up to me. They say, hey, Jan, you're the most famous photographer in New York City. Have you ever done psychedelic mushrooms? I said, no, of course not. They said, do you want to do it? I said, okay, what does that do? They said, you'll see. I said, fine. Because when you're a young person, you're stupid and you do things and you don't think
about it. Absolutely.
I took some psychedelic mushrooms. I'm sitting in my apartment. My books start talking to me. I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm getting scared. I'm alone. It's starting to get dark. I almost did think about calling the Ghostbusters at that point, but I didn't. I go into my bathroom. I go into the mirror. I look in the mirror. I see myself reverse age to a baby and forward age to an old woman at the age of 100 years old. That's the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And it sticks with me to this day.
I mean, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. I think that's not on the internet. Okay. But now it is. I don't know if you're going to send me a tape. I don't know how I'm going to listen to this episode. I don't know what you want.
Well, Jan, I think what's nice about that is that not only is that completely understandable and relatable, I think it's going to put some of our listeners at ease who maybe are partaking in psychedelic mushrooms or hallucinogens. And maybe, hey, look, I'm not alone. It happened to Jan Gleebwitz. I'm going to be fine.
Okay. If people want to take it that way, they want to be comforted by my story, they can take it that way. I'm not saying this story to comfort anybody. I'm saying this story because that's what happened to me. I don't live my life to comfort other people that I don't know from a podcast. I don't know these people. They're living their own lives. I'm living my own life. That's why I live in New York.
Well, I think if anybody listening wants to get a better handle on who Jan Gleebwitz is, you should look up some of her art and some of her photos and certainly do better than I did and look her up on the internet. I'm curious, Jan, though, before we let you get out of here, what are your thoughts on Fran Lebowitz?
Okay, here's the thing. Everybody is always asking me about Fran Lebowitz. They want to know. They say, hey, Jan Gleebwitz, Fran Lebowitz, both cranky people, both live in New York, both old ladies, both go to lounge parties. Nobody has a TV, nobody has a phone. A lot of similarities. What's the deal? Are you guys best friends? Are you fucking? What's going on with you two? Here's what I'll say about Fran Lebowitz. She leaves me alone and I leave her alone. There's a respect between us, okay? Unlike the Ghostbusters, she has some decorum. She's lived in New York for 80 years. I've lived in New York for 80 years. We see each other. We pass each other on the street. We nod politely hello. Do you know why? Because we're the only two people in New York who know how to walk through the street, okay? Nobody else knows how to cross the street. Nobody else knows how to do anything in New York except for me and Fran Lebowitz.
You and Fran might be the two most New York people and New York entities I think I've ever been around.
That's 100% correct. That's a horrible thing to say, but it's.
If there are four particular people listening, let's say that they're the Ghostbusters. What would you like to say to the Ghostbusters right now?
Let me think about this for a second. What do I want to say to the Ghostbusters? Well, here's what I would say to the Ghostbusters. Listen, you do what you're doing. Keep it up. You want to give me a call and we'll go get a coffee. Maybe I'll not until we all get vaccinated, obviously. We can go and get a coffee.
Of course.
And maybe we'll talk about it. I don't have beef with the Ghostbusters. You know what? Because to have beef with somebody, you have to care about them. I don't care what they're doing. Okay. I don't care what anybody's doing except for me. So if the Ghostbusters are listening to this, I don't actually care what you think. You want to be my friend? You can make an effort. You don't want to be my friend? I don't care.
Jen, I'm from Michigan, so forgive me if I don't quite understand this, but is it fair to say the mentality of a New Yorker is you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone?
That's the mentality of what New York used to be and what people used to think, but it's not really the mentality anymore because now the mentality is I'm going to come here and I'm going to take a selfie stick and I'm going to go into the M&M store in Times Square. That's the New York mentality now. But yeah, for real New Yorkers like me and Fran Lebowitz, yeah, that's the attitude. You do you, I'll do me.
Well, for those of you that are listening, and myself included, hopefully talking to you, Jan, will get us back into a time when people are just leaving each other the hell alone and it can just go back to a simpler selfie-free time.
That's right. If everybody behaved how I behaved, the COVID-19 pandemic would never have happened. Okay? Because I stay away from people. That's what you should do. Just stay away. You got enough to worry about. Okay? Everybody's crazy. Worry about your own crazy.
I think you've said it perfectly. Jan Glebowitz, you're a delight. You are the most real New York thing I've ever had the pleasure of talking to. So thank you so much for coming by and sparing a little bit of your time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you so much for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I've been your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself with Nate DeFort and edited by Nate DeFort. Original music was done by Jesse Case, along with Dane Halverson, and our original artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Thank you so much to Kara Connors for coming by and playing Jan Glebowitz. Again, you can check out Kara on Instagram at Kara Cons Comedy. If you like the show and you want to support us, please like and subscribe. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can find us on patreon.com at My Neighbors Are Dead. Follow us on Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show and we'll see you next week.
Imagine a podcast. Now, imagine a musical. Now, imagine the two of them made 1 million babies. Well, you don't have to imagine it, because it's real, and it has a name. 1 million musicals. Each month, we bring you a brand new, original podcast musical featuring talent from across Broadway, films, and TV. You'll hear tales of spooky ghosts, Wild West shootouts, adventures on the high seas, and much, much more. 1 million musicals. Only a few hundred thousand to go.
A Campfire Media Podcast. Campfire.